We're going to start lesson three today on spiritual warfare. And one of the things that we have come to understand in lesson one is we understand that, like it or not, as crazy as this sounds, the Bible emphatically, if you are a believer, as the Bible being the Word of God, the Bible emphatically declares that there is demonic and angelic activity in the earth. As a matter of fact, it actually points out time and time again that you and I are under an attack. And we will get to more of that in this third lesson. And then, of course, in lesson two, we begin to identify the three battlefields which have to be fought. And they're actually fought in two different arenas. And we based all this on the scripture. And the three battlefields, let me remind you from the last lesson, number one, the battlefield of the world, the battlefield of the spirit realm, and, of course, the battlefield within our flesh. And these battlefields must be fought on two levels. There's the earthly level or worldly level, and then there's the spiritual or the heavenly realm. The enemy, through his, ever since Adam, he found out how effective that was. That, think about it, he conquered the bloodline of man on earth, and he did it through suggestion. We're going to get into his plan. He uses three different assaults, and we have to identify these assaults so we can recognize when we are under attack. And believe me, as a church, you're going to be under attack. He doesn't attack people that aren't on his, that are on his team. So the enemy's three main assaults is, number one, he uses deception. Number two, he uses accusations. And number three, of course, temptations. So today, the world, our first battlefield, today's lesson is we're going to cover tactic number one, and that is the warfare here on earth that you and I are bombarded with, and that is deception. We'll get to the accusations and the temptations in following lessons. So today we want to major on deception. Deception is a major thing. Most of us in this room have been partakers and actually been people that have been deceivers and been deceived. And as you begin to look at deception, especially with this age we live in, we talked about the Santa Fe school shooting and the other school shootings, those poor, misguided people that do that, they have been totally deceived. And that's what we have to understand. Deception is rampant. And deception is so sly and so slick. You know, it's kind of like you tell your spouse, hey, I'll be home in a little bit. Well, that's really kind of deception. You know, I'll be home at 1:30. Now that's fact, okay? Deception a lot of time is inferring a partial truth but not expounding and explaining the rest of it. And I have been the product of being used in accusations by people that they tell half the story, but they don't tell the pertinent parts that put it in correct setting. You could take these tapes and edit them as fake news would do and make it sound like we were a bunch of blibbering idiots, because you can just take one sentence out of context and not tell the rest. That's deception. That's total deception. It's deception whenever we only tell a half truth. So I want to read these real quickly in John chapter 17. And what we are doing is we are reaffirming, because most of us, we've got good lives. God's been good to us. We've tried to do the right things. He's blessed us. We've got houses and cars and lands and on and on and on. So we have to reiterate and remind ourselves that whether we believe it or not, you are being studied and you are being hunted, because you really are the enemy of the God of this world. He wants to conquer you or else make you a tare in the middle of the wheat field here. So Jesus is speaking and he says, pray not that thou should take them out of this world. Jesus says, I pray not that thou should take them out of this world, but thou should keep them from the evil, and actually it's the evil one. So Jesus is reaffirming, I'm leaving them here, but my prayer, Father, is the fact that I want you to make sure that you protect them from the evil one. We are no match for Satan. As a matter of fact, you're going to see that God himself, for whatever reason, and I'll get into that in a much later lesson, not in this series, who created good and evil, for whatever reason, God has ordained that once man fell, that Satan would have supreme power over this world. You're no match. You can say whatever you want. Now, God is ultimate. Satan cannot overcome the works of God. And this is why we celebrate today Pentecost, because the day that the church was born, now God in us and through us is a match for Satan. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But us on our own, you're going to be deceived. You're not going to make it. I'll just tell you that, according to the Word of God. Okay, so 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So here is Paul writing to Timothy. Look, now remember, they're writing this to church people. Church people can fall into the snare of the devil. So we're not making this up. We're not trying to be super spiritual. We're certainly not trying to make you afraid of Satan. Study God and he'll take care of you. Don't worry about Satan and his enemies, but be not ignorant of what he does and then how to combat that. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14 through 15. I will therefore that the younger women marry and bear children, guide the house, and give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. So I'm just wanting us to establish the fact that this series of lessons on spiritual warfare is not for naught. We have an enemy. 2 Timothy 3, verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And as you learn more truth, you're going to find out, look, if someone doesn't teach what you know to be correct Bible doctrine, it doesn't mean they're a devil by any means. It's just they're doing what they know. And he who controls your information controls you. And that's what Satan ultimately wants, to control your information. 2 Peter chapter 2, but there were, verse 1, false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, this is talking about other pastors and preachers. The way of truth will be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment is now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So just a few warnings that Christ and his apostles have given to the church. And it isn't complete at all. The list would go on and on. In Revelation chapter 11, an amazing statement. We're looking at, of course, the seven trumpets, the seven seals, and then when time should be no more. And the seventh angel sounded, Revelations 11 and 15. But this is the end of the book. This is when the game of chess is about to end between dark and light. And the seventh angel sounded, and there followed a great voice in the heavens and said, the kingdom of the world is become the kingdom of our Lord. Now remember your prayer, thy kingdom come. We are not in the kingdom of God when we're on this earth. We are, as born again citizens, kingdom of God in our minds and our hearts, that what we are trying to do is reestablish righteousness in the earth. But if you'll notice, so the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So at the end of the book, now the earth is going to be taken back over by the King of Kings. That means right now it's got another king. You know, as you grow in your understanding and you grow in your knowledge, this is going to sound terrible because, you know, we have peace, we have joy, and most of us, we're removed from terrible companies that we used to keep, and we don't recognize it, but you're living in a very evil, hostile, deceived environment that hates God, hates his people, hates the things of God, or has placated themselves with deception to where they have their own type of doctrine in their brain and can explain away anything but really answer to no one but their own consciousness and what they decide is correct. And I know this sounds like a Bible thumper because that's exactly what I am, but I don't have an opinion. I'm just trying to find out what God said and live up to his word, because ultimately that is the only truth. There is no other truth. Period. That's pretty narrow-minded. Absolutely. So those of you that are listening by podcast later, you can't see the screen. So here's a little demon mounted on a guy's shoulder, whispering into his ear, throwing a fiery thought bomb. Okay. So God has allowed Satan to have supreme power on the earth to control people. Now, this is hard for us to comprehend. He doesn't want to control just people. He wants to control nations and governments. And God's given him this power for, as we've seen, a set period of time. Satan's authority on the planet is only surpassed by God and his authority, and I've mentioned this already. Remember, man has no natural authority over Satan whatsoever. Man without Christ only has authority over his own thoughts, his own choices, and his own actions. For whatever reason, God has ordained Satan has been given rule to rule over the earth until Christ returns as the King of Kings. So in John chapter 16, verse 10, 11, Jesus is speaking and he says, "Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and ye behold me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world hath been judged." So after Christ has rightfully conquered Satan by overcoming sin, he could not be a redeemer. He could not be a kinsman redeemer unless he could afford to pay the price. And he could not pay the price of blood, sin in the blood of man until he had sinless blood. So now he took the keys back to death, hell, and the grave for whosoever will follow him. Otherwise, you're of your father, the devil. That's hard to believe. I don't think like that when I look at people, but that's the word. You must be born again. That's either true or there's no need for us to show up at church. There's no in between. And I let God be the judge. I'm judging no man. Satan's number one plan. I want to read a very frightening scripture to me. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. "There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And boy, I was that man. And I bet a lot of you women and men were as well. I had that, for lack of a better way to express it, barstool religion. I had my own thought process and my own doctrine. And I didn't know anyone that was going to hell except people who are worse than I was. But I was a good guy. And if I sat here and list my sin and my addictions and all the stuff I was into, I was a rotten sucker, according to the Word of God. I was a rank sinner, just like some of you. But nevertheless, there is a way that seemed right unto a man. Well, let me tell you what I think. Well, here's what I believe. Who cares what you think, what you believe? Give me scripture and verse. And that's the way we should see it. And I know that's narrow, but look, that's the way it is. John chapter 8. 8 and 44. From the beginning, Satan has used deception, which is lying. The thing about this first verse that I read about a way that seemed right to a man is, when you're deceived, that means you don't know you're deceived. You don't get up in the day and say, "I'm going to live a lie today." No, you're deceived. You have been conquered. You have already living a lifestyle that you believe is acceptable because it's acceptable to you, so God's got to accept it. Anyway, I could go on and on with that. So from the beginning, Satan used deception, which is lying. Jesus said, "You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father, it is your will to do." He was a murderer from the beginning. That's an interesting statement. From the beginning. "And he standeth not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. For he is a liar and the father thereof." One thing about Jesus, he did not mince words. So what was this beginning that he was a murderer and a liar from the beginning? Well, we have to go all the way back to the book of beginnings, Bereshit, Genesis chapter 3. Only God's word could point out the deception they had just fallen into. And of course, we know the story after Eve ate of the fruit of the tree. And he said, God speaking, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat?" And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me and I did eat." So only God's word could point out that they were in deception. Folks, that's the problem we have today. I did not recognize how deceived I was, period. And you know people like this. And the truth of the matter is we live in an hour where, because we are so surrounded by a deceived world, that we feel like we've got to be wrong. We can't possibly be right when we look at what the masses are doing. All right. So Satan's number one strategy. His number one strategy, I've already mentioned, is deception. We want to kind of unveil some of his tactics on how that comes about. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, I want you to remember Adam. Now this is important. Adam never heard the voice of the serpent. Adam wasn't deceived. A lot of you don't know that. Adam never heard the voice of the serpent. Remember the little picture I showed in the preceding slide with the little fiery dart, the little demon whispering in the man's ear? See, someone controls your thinking. It's either going to be the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. And you don't realize which is which unless you have inputted from the kingdom of light. We all understand darkness. If I want to be a witch, it's real simple. Do thy own will. And truthfully, that's what most of us are trying to accomplish. We chase wealth for a multitude of reasons, but if you really boil it down, one of the main reasons we love wealth is because it lets us do what we want to do. It gives us a freedom. We don't want to be yoked. But there is a yoke that's light and that's easy. All right, so let me get down with this. So remember, as we go through this lesson, Adam never heard the voice of Satan. Someone said, well, it was his wife that spoke, same difference. I'm kidding, so let me go on. So Adam, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, let's get back to the scripture. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So it was words. Let's look at why she was deceived. It was words. It was sights that led to her deception. Now, I shouldn't get into this right now, but I'm just going to throw this at you. The Bible is a glimpse into the wormhole of what is, shall be. It's time travel. Adam was a type of Christ until his fall, but he chose to partake of the sin. His bride had fallen, and so he joined her, probably hoping to resurrect her, I'm guessing at that point. So he willingly partook of that. And that's what Jesus Christ did for us. He drank of the sin of the world. All right. So it was word and sight that Satan used to deceive her. That is how he begins to deceive us. That sounds so simple. It's so effective. Why do you think all of these countries, we could take North Korea as an example, and I'm not sure what they say on all of their government-owned television stations, radio stations. They won't allow you to get on the internet, on the music and the things that are blaring into the homes and the malls in North Korea about how great their leader is. Brainwashing is very effective. You don't realize it. We've all been brainwashed. This is why we need the washing of the water of the Word. We need brainwashed. We need to wash our minds with the water of the Word. So words matter. Nations are conquered by words. Revelations chapter 12. Satan has mastered the fake news, lies, and visual allurements. And this is what he does. So actually, when you get up each morning, you don't realize you're going into the territory of the enemy. About everything you look at's built to deceive you by people that are deceived. I know how crazy this sounds. Revelations 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives, it doesn't say some of the people. If you believe the word of God, he deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So at the end of this age, how does it end? Well, the end of this age ends that we have to be taken out, and the days have to be cut short, or the very elect would be, this is a scripture, deceived. Folks, with this new electronic age and all that's going on, it's rampant. Well, you can't have conversations with whole families anymore without someone always working on their phone, especially the young people. It's an avenue for deception. I know most people are reading their Bibles when they're on their phones. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, Paul tells Timothy to pray for Christians that they have fallen into deception. Let's read it. 2 Timothy 2:26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who is taken captive by him at his will. So when we fall into a weakened state and profess Christianity, these were people that were Christians, but now they had fallen into the snare of the devil. Folks, he who controls your information, what you hear when you go to church is important. What your kids are going to learn when they come in to classes today, it's very important. So mankind was conquered by a suggestion that appealed to the eye and, of course, the ego. Now, we're going to make a turn here in a moment that I think is going to be very eye-opening. If it looks good, it sounds good, and will make me feel even better, why not? All right. So the deceptive strategy must be understood by every Christian warrior. That, you know, you've got to look through things not with your eye, but with the Spirit. And the way we look at things through the Spirit is through the Word of God. We can have thoughts and ideas and dreams and visions, and if they don't align with the Word, it was you. Okay? Satan's gospel uses words, sights, sounds, and that's what he does. It's a very alluring trap, deception is. So this slide, we're looking at an old-fashioned TV with an antenna. Years ago, I remember I used to have to move the rabbit's ears. We'd put aluminum foil on them for those two channels we'd get. They would go off at midnight. And the kids never thought about what they wanted to watch. You just felt blessed if you got to stay up past 8:30 or 9 o'clock. I know it's still like that today, huh? We had one TV. We were so underprivileged, just one. And it wasn't a color TV. I remember the first time I ever got to see Wizard of Oz, and boy, when they opened that door, first we finally got a color TV when I was like 13 or 14, and it's like a big one, you know, like 15 inch or whatever. All right, let me get off me. Okay, so a weapon of mass deception. How is he going to deceive the world? Well, with sights and with sounds, with words and with programming. Genesis 3, verse 4 and 6. This is the way Satan did it. And the serpent said unto the woman, you will not die. In other words, whatever God told her, he either totally came against it or he changed it a little bit. And then he pointed to something that would allure to her eyesight. So when the woman saw the tree, and you know the story, I hate to even read it again because you've all heard it a billion times, and that it was pleasant to the eye, a tree to be desired, and make one wise. This is exactly what advertising does. Buy this car. Now, we don't have any idea anymore, anything about the engines or the transmissions, but it's all about how the person looks that's driving it or the course that it's on. We don't learn anything about the vehicle. Isn't that amazing? We're used to, in the olden days, we'd want to know, about the mechanical structure of the automobile. So how can this be that Satan actually is going to conquer the world through deception with words, sights, and sounds? Well, here we go. And if you will pay close attention to this verse, it is very eye-opening. Your eyes are useless when your mind is blind. I said in a prior lesson that people don't know what they see, but people see what they know. I won't get back into that. You can listen to the lesson last week. Satan's plan of deception is very, very simple, and it's been very, very effective, and we're so blessed today that we are called into the light, and we can spot his deception when it takes place. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 tells us, the God of this world has blinded the minds, not the eyes. He's blinded the minds of them which believe not. Otherwise, the light would shine on Christ, who is the image of God. So he has blinded humanity's mind. In other words, when we look at an ad and there they are with that tequila and there's this warm sunset behind them and the ocean waves, it doesn't show you the drunk laying in the gutter. It doesn't show you the wife that's being abused. It doesn't show you, you know, it's alluring because he doesn't allow, and we certainly wouldn't think about God certainly says he will not allow a drunk into the kingdom of God. Okay, and there's a difference between having a drink and being a drunk. Huge difference, okay? So hear that. I'm not a drinker, but I recognize the truth of the Word of God. All right, so what I'm suggesting is that through advertising, through programming, that the mind is blind because it's a half-truth. Whenever there's an advertisement on, it's only showing you the bright side, which is luring you to have hope in something that really is a false hope. So the mind doesn't see the truth. That's what he's done. Realize, as in real, E-Y-E-S, realize, R-E-A-L-I-Z-E, realize, real lies, L-I-E-S. And this is what Christ has done. He has brought to us the kingdom of light where we now see. Once I was blind, not my eyes, my mind, but now I see because I now have real eyes so I can realize the real lies. And that's exactly what he wants to do in our lives. So Jesus says the first thing you must guard against. Now, whenever they ask him, well, let me read the scripture. Matthew chapter 24. So he's on the Mount of Olives with his disciples. They come to him privately and they ask him, hey, when's this going to be, the end? And what shall be the sign of the coming and the end of the age? That's a very poor translation world. The end of this age, the world, the earth will not end. And Jesus answered and said, very first thing he said, he didn't warn them about, you know, nuclear destruction or whatever. So his first answer is, he says, and take heed that no man deceive you. So what I think that is happening is, you know, we all fight such struggles, most of us, through the week. And we come to the house of God, and every pastor, myself included, man, we want to give you something. to encourage you and to lift you up and to let you understand God loves you and to let you understand the joy that's possible and the success and all the things that Christ wants for His children. And when we get off of that venue and we begin to get into the weightier things, even though that's the first thing, He wants us to have an abundant life, but the enemy's out to steal every bit of that force. And if we don't equip you, then the road can become very unclear as to which paths to take at times. So when we start studying spiritual warfare and we start studying deception, you're like, wow, I had no idea that the Bible... Yeah, that's what the Bible's there for. It's to keep us out of deception. Because the world is deceived. And He said, narrow's the way, and few there be that find it. Now, you know, I'll just tell you, if I knew only eight could get on the ark, I'd be the first one there and start throwing people off. I plan on getting on the ark, and that religion that believes only 144,000 are going to go to heaven, and they're out knocking doors, inviting people. I'm like, why would I want to do that? You know, I want to make sure that I'm in that 144,000. But the truth is, that narrow way is still an innumerable number through the ages. I did a little demonstration one time. You know, he talks about the eye of the needle and how the way is narrow. So I brought a large funnel to service, and I turned that funnel around. It's got big opening on this end, got that little end. I said, now this is what the kingdom of God's like. Can you imagine trying to get through this little orifice at this small end of the funnel? But I said, but that's not the way God has designed it. And I flipped the funnel over. And really, we can bounce around in there because God's going to refine us to where we're going to make it in. So it's not that narrow. So once Satan has blinded a person's mind in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, what we're going to see is God and the Bible become foolish philosophy. So now, where we have changed directions in this lesson, we have identified that deceit and deception is the first thing that the enemy uses to accomplish his goal. Now we are talking about what he has accomplished through all of the venues of eyesight and the words that are spoken by the prince of the power of the airwaves. It's interesting that it called him that over 2,000 years ago. And so what we see is that he blinded your mind. You know, you could have an affair on your husband or affair on your wife. You could do this. You could steal from your employer. You could do all this stuff and still think you were a good person, because you can sear your thought process. And that's proven. I mean, you know. So 1 Corinthians. So now we're talking about people with a blind mind. They still have eyes to see and hear, but what do they see? They see what Satan wants them to see. Things that allure the flesh, that appeal to the ego. What do they hear? They hear his voice. They hear the things of this present world that he now has captivated and designed. But 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14 tells us, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Why not? This is terrifying. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So here we are, the Huffman Church SWAT team, spiritual warrior action team. And that's the team you've joined. We've drafted you into that. And so what we recognize is the fact that you came this morning because what I'm teaching on is relevant to your life. It's relevant to all of your family endeavors of raising children, of getting along with relatives, of so on and so forth. But if you talk to people in the kingdom of darkness that are not being drawn, it's impossible for any man to come to Christ except he be drawn. And this is why we intercede for people. Then the truth of the matter is, the natural man cannot receive it because it's foolishness to them. We'd rather talk. Look, I don't need to hear that stuff about the end of the world. I really don't care what God did. Hey, what do you think about those Astros? Everything else makes sense. All the things of the world make sense. And this is what you need to understand. And that's why he that winneth souls has to be wise. Because folks, they're in deception and they think you're foolish. As a matter of fact, we see the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men. Now remember, they were blind in the Old Testament just like they are in the New spiritually. So he is despised and rejected of men. This is a prophecy of Christ. He is a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. In other words, the blinded mind sees absolutely no value in Christ. And that's where we are. When we, even a president, past president, said we're no longer a Christian. We don't see the value in Christianity any longer. We don't see a value in Christ. Society has moved beyond that, we think, because our minds have been blinded. So we see him as despised, rejected. We said, shut up about Jesus. You know, 1 John chapter 2. Blinded minds are bound by the bodily senses. Blinded minds are bound by the bodily senses. When your mind is blind, that means you're operating by the senses of the natural man who cannot receive the things of God because you're not operating in the Spirit of God. This is why whenever we talk about building up our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, that without a continual connection, that's why he said, seek ye first each day the kingdom of God, we can easily be swayed and forget whose kingdom we're supposed to serve. All right, so he tells us that blinded minds are bound by the bodily senses. 1 John chapter 2, 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So, I like nice things. I like air conditioning, electricity, big grocery stores, on and on and on. But when you look at what the masses don't have that you have, is you see it differently than they see it. And all of the other things that are being advertised out there, it's all appealing to flesh and ego. And then when people do become spiritually hungry, the enemy has a great plan for that because he uses deception and false words and false teachers to try to fill that void that's in them with other things. And I'm just throwing some stuff out there. I can name every false religion, but he'll even get you into exercise. Whatever he can get you into to appease that emptiness in you, because all he's trying to do is dangle the carrot out in front of you long enough until that last heartbeat stops and which side you fall on. All right, so let's go on. So remember, he who controls your information controls you. So how deception is achieved? Well, very simply, and I've got to stop here so we can have prayer at the prayer room. So explicitly saying things that are not true, partial statements of truth, unsaid facts, leaving important details out. We can have dreams and visions, and they're not all of God. He uses false prophets. He uses false hopes, making us believe we'll feel better when we serve and get whatever it was we worked so hard to get. Watching the masses of the world, well, you know, how can we be right? All these people think this. And appealing to carnal minds, appealing to carnal minds, carnal senses. So his goal is to cut off access to truth and continually repeat the lies. Deception, Ephesians 4, verse 17 through 19. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you walk no more as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Then, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness, they're past being able to comprehend the foolishness of this gospel. So some great deceptions that are so rampant that we've forgotten how they were even started as deception. Well, the universe just happened. There is no creator. Evolution's where we came from. The world's overpopulated, and that's why we need to kill babies. In our Wednesday night lesson, I taught, do you realize that since we have legalized abortion in America, that we wiped out the population of 22 states out of the 50 states in America? We have killed the same amount of babies that fill 22 states, and we want to say, God bless America. I saw a post that by an old pastor, Robert Gilstrap, and it said, for a church to pray for revival and renewal that does not walk in consecration is like a man praying to get in shape that does not exercise. All right. We believe in the deception that all believe in God. A fetus is not a human. Marriage is not just for a man to a woman. Sex of a person is going to be decided by the person. The Bible's not God's word. Scripture can have many different meanings. Jesus was just a man. A majority makes it correct. Did God really mean what he said? And all false doctrine. Everyone goes to heaven. So there's so much deception. And what's he do? He just keeps repeating the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. And you'll buy into it if you don't have something to wash your mind. I'll end right here. So God's protection and antidote for deception. John chapter 8. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Free from what? Free from the yoke and the deception of the enemy. In Ephesians 1, 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what the hope of his calling. It's not foolishness to us. Ephesians 5 and 8, for you were sometimes in darkness, but now you are the light of the world and walk as children of light. Hebrews 10 and 32, call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, once your eyes were open, why did I have to fight all the problems I'm fighting when I started coming to this church? Financial, physical, because you have changed sides, okay, when you're born again. So God's truth shines light on every type of deception, lack of faith, lust, bitterness, false doctrines, lies of entrapment, pride, covetousness, fear, and every other trick of the enemy. Ephesians 6 and 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So Satan's ultimate plan, and I've got to end, in Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar the king makes this great image, and he says, when the music plays, everyone shall bow for it. And that's a type of exactly what happens in the book of Revelation chapter 13. He deceives they that dwell on the earth, by means of those miracles which he had the power to do. He had the power to give life unto the image of the beast. He caused both all small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. And I saw an angel, Revelation 20, come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, cast him in the bottomless pit. Why? Because he deceived the world. So what we're seeing is in the end that this world deception is you will do exactly what Nebuchadnezzar had them do. Satan wants to get his hands on the law. You already have other countries where you're killed if you're a Christian. Once he gets his hands on the law, no longer school in prayer, no longer school in the home, no longer can churches have a license unless they preach what the state tells them to preach. Once he gets his hands on the law, he's got total control. And in the end, what does he do? He sets up his own system and says he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 and 10, whose coming is after the work of Satan with all power and signs and lyings and wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Matthew 13 and 19 tells us, when you hear the word of the kingdom and you don't understand it, then comes the wicked one, and he takes that was sown in your heart. This is he which receives the seed by the way. Buy the truth, sell it not. And Simon answered him and said, Lord, where can we go? You're the only one that has words of eternal life. Ultimately, the only way we can understand the deception and the plan of the enemy is to recognize through the truth of the word of God. That is the end of lesson 3.